Blog Talk Radio.
Nation, welcome to a special broadcast tonight of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Tonight, we're going to be on air for the next 30 minutes, and we're going to focus only on last night's game in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship between number one Louisville and number four Michigan. Say what you want, it was a great game, especially if you are a Louisville fan or a Louisville alumni. It was one of those games that it really came down to the wire. It was a close outcome. Louisville won by 6 points by a score of 82-76 last night. Great outcome. And I want to take the opportunity to congratulate them, congratulate Rick Pitino on being the first coach to win a national championship with two different schools. The first, he did it with Kentucky many years ago. And now he's doing it again with a second school. I think about what both teams had to overcome this year. I think about the amount of adversity that these two programs encountered, typically and mainly Louisville, with the injury that one of their top players, Kevin Ware, in a game against Duke a few weeks back. It was just an emotional ride for them. I joked about it on Facebook last night how I blamed the Michigan loss on him because of how the referees were going to do everything they could to make sure that he got that victory and his team got that victory. You know, controversial or not, I mean, they won the game. You can't do nothing about it now. I know that. I've known this for years when it comes to controversial games and championships. We all know about the Super Bowl between the 49ers and the Ravens, where that game came right down to the wire, and it really came down to that fourth down play where San Francisco had a chance to take the lead and win the game, and they couldn't finish as to what appeared to be a defensive pass interference call against Baltimore. Either way you look at it, they won the game, and that was something that they, too, were also riding on emotion with the whole Ray Lewis retirement situation and things like that. But nonetheless, I'm not going to take nothing away from Louisville. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They made up for last year. That is for certain. And, again, they overcame leaps and bounds. To me, they were the only legitimate number one seed throughout the entire NCAA championship. When you think about the other number one seeds, Gonzaga in particular, who lost to Wichita State, who lost later on to Louisville in the Final Four, and Louisville just overcame leaps and bounds. They were a team that was destined to go all the way. As for the runner-up, Michigan, to me, was amazing this year. They had an incredible run. And I like to take this opportunity to congratulate them just alone, you know, what they were able to do. You think about what their roster looks like, because they got a lot of freshmen on their team, a lot of freshmen and sophomores. I mean, this team really wasn't supposed to be this good this year, to be honest with you. They were number one for quite a long time. They got off to an undefeated start, and a lot of people said, well, you know what? We're going to find out what this team is really made of in the tournament. And yet, you talk about overcoming adversity. They did that. They overcame adversity after being down double digits to Kansas. A lot of people were ready to write off Michigan, and next thing you know, we saw a star emerge in Trey Burke, who just was absolutely sensational despite the loss last night. Just sensational, period. I mean, this young man, to me, is NBA ready. I don't care what anyone says. This guy definitely has NBA written all over him. I think in this particular case, I think that he has shown that he is more than capable of taking over a game. He has shown that he can be that guy that can be part of the NBA's next evolution. I mean, this guy just was absolutely wonderful, just brilliant throughout the whole tournament. He averaged 18.6 points per game this year, 3.2 rebounds, 6.7 assists. This guy's a sophomore, and he's definitely NBA ready. He can make an impact right now. There are talks of him appearing to entering the upcoming NBA draft, and I think he should. I really think he should. This young man, to me, has really done some amazing things. You go back to that game against Kansas, he scored 23 points and had 10 assists. It was his only double-double of the tournament, and yet it couldn't have came at a better time for him at that particular moment because they were down as many as double digits, and they came back and won again by 2 points. And then the game against Florida, they just made it absolutely look easy, just easy. It was a total team effort in that game. And then against Syracuse, he only scored 7 points, mind you. He only scored 7 points. He didn't do a whole lot of damage. But, again, that was a total team effort. Stauskas was just amazing in that game. He was also amazing against Florida, just absolutely brilliant. And then last night, watching Spike Arbret, who I didn't know much about prior to last night's game, but yet this guy is the real deal. he's definitely a guy that's going to really get better as his college career continues. Everyone talks about who should enter the NBA draft. As far as Michigan is concerned, I think that everybody not named Trey Burke should stay put. Tim Hardaway Jr. last night did not play a great game. Glenn Robinson III did not play a great game. Here's the situation, okay? Tim Hardaway Jr. scored 12 points, but yet he had a few turnovers, a couple costly turnovers down the stretch. He also didn't show up in that second half, really. He didn't really have much of an impact in the second half of that game. Glenn Robinson III, he also scored 12 points. But he only had two rebounds, only had two assists. He, too, was nowhere to be found much in the second half. Now, I would say as far as how some of these players who are most likely going to enter the draft, it looks like it's possible that Glenn Robinson III is going to be gone. He's going to, despite being a freshman, it looks like he might enter the draft. It looks like Mitch McGarry, he's most likely going to enter the NBA draft. I think he's proven a little bit. I think personally he should stay behind at least one more year and really develop on his post game and really develop on his free throws. You don't want to be a big man to go into the NBA draft and not have much of an impact on your free throws. What I've been saying all along is we've seen a lot of big men come out into the NBA draft over the years and not be and not necessarily excel at the free throw line. We've seen this happen with Andre Drummond so far. He had two missed free throws in the game against the Bulls a week or so ago that would have gave the Pistons the lead in that game after being up as many as double digits, and they blew that game. But the point is, being a big man and coming to the NBA, you really want to have your free throws down pat. Now, McGarry did not get to the free throw line last night. And, again, he was nowhere to be found in the second half of the game. But, again, Spike Albright, to me, was Michigan's hero in the first half. Between him and Trey Burke, those two were just sensational, especially Spike in the first half. He got off to a great start. He made his first seven shots. The guy was just – actually, I'm sorry, he made his first five shots of the game. He was actually 6 of 9 overall, 4 of 5 in three-point range. Scored 17 points. Most of those points he scored in the first half. He was just positively, absolutely flawless. What's not to say about him? He's definitely got the shooting touch. And again, prior to last night's game, he only averaged 1.8 points per game and 1.8 assists. I didn't know much about him before last night's game. And I thought he was definitely on the market. But I think that he definitely can get better, and he's definitely going to get better. Regarding Louisville, Luke Hancock was definitely Louisville's hero. He left them with 22 points in the game. He shot 5 of 6 overall. He was 5 of 5 from three-point range, and he made 4 of them in the first half at one point where Louisville was down by 12 points, and they came back and they ended up taking the lead before being down by 1 point, before being down by one at halftime. But you felt the game slipping even at that point. If you're a Michigan fan, you just felt the game was slipping a little bit. And then the second half, Louisville outscored Michigan 45-38. Kenny Smith, who is an analyst for TNT, for those of you who don't know, Kenny the Jet Smith, former NBA player. He was also a great three-point shooter. I think he had one time set a record for most three-pointers made in the game and attempted. He made a point last night during the pregame show that the first team to score 70 points was going to win the game. He also alluded to that during halftime. Turns out it was Louisville. They got the 71st. They pretty much kept Michigan in check. Michigan didn't regain the lead, and they were pretty much playing cat and mouse and playing catch-up with Louisville the rest of the way. Everyone talks about also the officiating in the game. And I want to say real quickly, I've never seen an overall bad officiating game. Now, I'd be saying the same thing if Michigan had won, because to me there was some sloppy plays and there was some sloppy calls down the stretch. What I don't understand is one particular play, and this play to me really, really ticked me off. Trey Burke was in defensive transition, and he went up for what to me was absolutely a block shot. I didn't understand how in the world they called a foul on that. Because if you look at the replay, and you could look at it from all angles, he got all ball, completely all ball. I was just absolutely, you know, appalled by the officiating overall. I mean, the referees to me were terrible. But you know what? How many championship games have we seen from college and professional sports over the years come down to bad calls, at least one or two bad calls? I was listening to something that Stephen A. Smith alluded to on First Take earlier this morning, and he hit the money when he said that every championship game always has one or two controversial calls that we as fans, as journalists, as sports broadcasters, and as fans complain about. And he was absolutely right, because you saw the play on that particular sequence, that was all ball, just all ball. And to me, I cringed the rest of the way. I couldn't even begin to tell you how horrible I felt for him, because first of all, Trey Burke had two fouls in the game, two quick fouls early in the game after scoring Michigan's first 7 points. And for some reason, Michigan's coach, John Belain, has this rule or this regulation, whatever you want to call it, about if you have two fouls, if you pick up two fouls, you have to sit out the rest of the half, which to me, that should not apply to the national championship game. You needed your best player out there on that court because, like I said, he scored the first 7 points of the game. When they took him out, it was like, okay, well, they got to pick up the scoring. Spike Arbright did a great job scoring. He was shooting the ball from deep. He made some tremendous shots. But you need Burke. To me, he's their undisputed leader. He is their MVP. There's a reason why he won the APA Player of the Year throughout the tournament. He won that award for a reason. I just think that you need him out there on the floor in that sequence. You need him out there to deliver. You need him out there for his impact. You just need his presence out there. Whether he makes a lot of shots or not, or scores a lot of points or not, you need his presence out there because, again, he does draw double teams. He is the guy that when he has the ball in his hand, all eyes are on him. And even without the ball, you're paying attention to him because you never know what he's going to do, really. I just think that it was just overall bad officiating. I think it was overall not so good, not so great coaching by John Belain, especially down the stretch with the whole foul to give thing at the end of the game. This is the situation where one guy outcoached the other. I think Rick Pitino absolutely outcoached John Belain. Rick Pitino is a guy that has done it. He's done it all now in college. College basketball, he set a milestone. He's actually set some milestones. Whether you like the guy or not, and believe me, I'm not that big a fan of him because I think back to his days when he coached the Boston Celtics and he had that classic press conference talking about some of the former Celtic greats not walking in through the door or whatever. But you can't take away what he has done in college. Just college alone, he is one of the best college coaches of all time. And I would certainly put him up there, along with Dean Smith, Bobby Knight, Mike Krzyzewski, Tom Izzo, Roy Williams. You could certainly make a case for all those guys, just for what they have done, and they all have done it tremendously. The question will be now, can Louisville come back and repeat? That's a question that a lot of people in college basketball are wondering. What's going to happen with Kevin Ware? When will he be back on his feet fully again? What's going to happen to him? down the stretch with the rest of his career and, with the rest of his life. What is he going to do? What's going to happen with some of these college players who are going to be entering the NBA draft? Who's going to enter and who's not going to enter? Again, I made my case for Trey Burke. Trey Burke, to me, is definitely a lottery pick in the NBA. He'll definitely draw some interest for the NBA teams who could use a point guard. And I'm telling you right now, Pistons will have the fifth pick, reportedly will have the fifth pick in the upcoming NBA draft. I would certainly take a stab at Trey Burke, and I'll tell you why. First of all, Will Bynum is going to be a free agent after this season. I think the Pistons can kind of do without him, because Will Bynum's not the type of guy that's going to have an impact every game. Yeah, he had a great outcome against Miami earlier when he scored 25 points, but he hasn't always done a whole lot on and off. He'll have a breakout game, and then he'll have a quiet game. I think Trey Burke, to me, is a better scorer at this point. He'll put the point. He'll score his points. He'll give you a good 15 or 20 a game. And also, if you're the Pistons, Jose Calderon, he's going to be a free agent. What are you going to do about him? Are you going to bring him back? What's going to be the situation? If I'm Dumars, I'm really thinking about this. And also, I will also say that in this particular case, if Mitch McGarry, if he declares for the draft, which according to ESPN, he most likely will, then maybe the Pistons should definitely take a stab at him, because you can never have enough big men. You can never have enough big men. And I think their front court could certainly use a jump start. Just think about it. First of all, if you're the Pistons, Jason Maxill, he's going to be a free agent after this year. There's no telling if the Pistons are going to re-sign him. You already got Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond intact. Those guys are not going anywhere. You also got Slava. I call him that because I have a difficult time pronouncing his last name. But he's in the long haul, but he still needs a lot of development. So other than that, where else? I mean, where else do you go with your big men, you know, your power forwards and your centers if you're Detroit? You know, me being a Pistons fan, that's something you definitely want to take into consideration. As far as teams who are going to have the lottery picks, I don't know where he's going to fall, but that remains to be seen. But I think Tim Hardaway Jr. should stay put for at least one more year. He shot 5 of 13 last night, 0 for 4 from three-point range. He only made 2 of 4 free throws. He needs to stay put, okay? John Horford, he's definitely going to stay put. Glenn Robinson III, a lot of people are saying that he's going to enter the draft. I personally think he should stay behind for one more year. Stauskas, Nick Stauskas, I think he should stay behind. He's a freshman. You know, he definitely is a good shooter, and he should definitely stay behind and continue to work on other elements of his game. But overall, I think Trey Burke is definitely NBA ready. You can certainly make a case for Mitch McGray. As far as Louisville is concerned, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, what's going to happen with some of their players? What's going to be the future of them? You look at their roster, you look at some of their players, you know, you look at, you know, their seniors. Basically, they got these are some of their seniors who are going to be, you know, who are pretty much done. Kevin Ware, he's a senior. You got to figure out what's going to happen with him. You know, what's going to be his situation. Oh, I'm sorry, he's a sophomore. My apologies, he's a sophomore, so I think he should stay put. Mike Mara, he's a senior. Peyton Siva, he's going to be a senior. To me, he's definitely going to be NBA ready. He had quite an impact on the game. He really did. It was good to see him, you know, do his thing if you're Louisville. He scored 18 points, shot 6 to 15 overall, made all 6 of his free throws, had 6 rebounds and 5 assists and 4 steals. So he definitely did some things. Louisville overall, their defense was fantastic, especially in the second half. They forced 12 turnovers overall. They held Michigan to 44% shooting from three-point range, which is good. But Michigan did shoot 52%. Which was actually better than Louisville. The turnovers hurt them a little bit, and I think, again, not necessarily making a lot of their free throws down the stretch hurt them a little bit as well. And, again, you can make a case for overall bad officiating. You can certainly make a case. I just look at it like, you know, FIBA is definitely NBA ready. I wish him well on his future endeavors as far as pro basketball is concerned. I think he'll definitely be drafted. He should be a first rounder. He might even be a lottery pick. But again, congratulations to Louisville. They won this game. They did some things, you know, like you expected them to if you picked them to win. Not taking nothing away from Michigan. I think Michigan will definitely be back. I think the Big Ten is definitely going to get better. And I also want to point out, it was definitely great to see the Fab Five there. You know, some of the guys, including Jalen Rose, Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, most of those guys are sitting together. You saw Chris Webber take a picture wearing a Michigan hat. Jalen Rose, he had an interesting-looking but yet funny-looking Michigan hat. It was good to see those guys there. It was definitely good to see those guys there. It was good to see some of the former other Michigan alum. It was good to see Tim Hardaway Sr. He's at every game supporting his son. And whether you like the guy or not throughout his career, it's good to see him support his kid. Regardless of what happens with some of these players, I'm going to wish everybody from both teams well, the coaches as well. Whatever happens with the futures of any of these guys, I want to wish them well and wish them the best of luck in their future endeavors. I also want to take the opportunity to say all the other teams who competed in this year's tournament, good luck to you this offseason. Good luck to you in your recruiting. Good luck to any of the other players who are going to be entering the NBA draft. I also want to say to some of the coaches, good luck. Good luck to you all down the stretch. It was a great tournament this year, and it definitely really came down to the wire. It was not a blowout game, and I loved it. I did. I loved just the tournament overall. A lot of these teams really competing. We saw a lot of upsets this year, a lot of major upsets, and we certainly saw some teams who will certainly have an impact starting next year. So I want to say good luck to everybody down the stretch. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank everybody for listening in tonight. This is our first 30-minute broadcast of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. I haven't always been on air all the time due to my film commitments, but I want to thank you all who continue to support this show. To everybody on Facebook, I can't thank you guys enough either. Rocket certainly appreciates it. He appreciates you. Thank you for your support. The entire Rocket Nation, just thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you do. And, again, you guys mean a lot to me. And, you know, your support is what makes Rocket go. So to everyone who continues to listen to this show, to all my compadres and my comrades, I should say, on Blog Talk, and even the ones who have submitted to this show, who have subscribed to this show, who check out the show, again, thank you guys so much. As I leave you, I want to say I got a ton of films coming out this year, getting ready to start shooting one of them next week. Not this upcoming weekend, but the following weekend. My own project, Love Has a Mind of Its Own, we're getting ready to start shooting that by the end of this month and early next month. So, again, thank you guys for supporting that project. Again, thank you all. I will be back again next time. In the meantime, keep up the excellence. Keep doing what you do. Special shout out to everybody who took part in the NCAA tournament, players and coaches. Rocket embraces you all. Thank you for your support. Till next time, take care of yourself. Keep up the excellence. Get ready for a power trip. Take care now. See you guys.